It's time for Central Iowa Today. Here's Ken Hugge.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Central Iowa Today here on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM. Time for our monthly get-together with the fire chief for the city of Marshalltown, Dave Ryerson. Chief, how are you?
Well, I was a little wet coming in.
A little drippy out there still?
Still was a little drippy, yes.
But isn't that good for fighting fires, having some of that that precipitation come down right about now? Everybody agrees we've been pretty dry lately.
We have been pretty dry, and I will agree, yeah, we do need the moisture.
But that doesn't mean there aren't other things that you can do since the ground is a little wet. And I know we're getting into the summer, and we're getting there. I mean, it's what? Is it what? Let's see. Two weeks to Memorial Day?
Yep, two weeks from Memorial Day.
2 weeks from today is Memorial Day, and that means family get-togethers, and that time of the year, that means grilling and nothing to it, right? You just go out, throw some lighter fluid on the coals, and throw the match in there, and away you go, right?
Well, that's the way some people do it.
So let's talk about grilling safety. There's various ways to grill. I mean, you know, you've got your gas grills, you got your smokers, you got your charcoal. Is there any one of those that seems to be a little bit more of a challenge to keep under control than another form, or are they all about the same?
Each of them kind of have their own special risk involved with mm-hmm. them. If you look at where most calls are generated, it's from gas grills. With charcoal grills, you're talking about people who don't let the coals get completely cold, and they like throw them in a sack, and then they mm-hmm. set them on the porch, and then the next thing you know, the side of the house is on fire because the coals weren't quite out. Or you get a gas grill that, you know, develops a leak in the hose in between the burner and the tank, or they just don't clean it, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, all the grease and the fats and everything from the meat you've grilled are like on fire down in the bottom of the grill, and they can't get them out. They can turn the gas off, but that grease is on fire, so it still burns. So yeah, each one kind of has their own little special nuances.
And I know one of the thing that most safety officials, including fire department folks and all that, I know one thing they love to see is that when it may not be the best of weather out there, we'll just pull the grill into the garage, right?
Yeah, that usually isn't a good thing either. You know, we were talking about grills. Did you know that about 64% of households in the country own a gas grill versus mm-hmm. versus a charcoal grill, and 70% of U.S. households own at least one barbecue grill, so charcoal or a gas grill or mm-hmm. a smoker. So a lot of that's becoming really popular, and then the smokers are becoming extremely popular too.
So the bigger the gas grill, and the more gas that it needs, is that more of a problem? I don't know. I was just thinking about that, but then I'm thinking, I don't know if I've ever seen a two-tank grill or not out there. Is there such a thing?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You know, some of your professionals that do that type of work will have that. But on a residence, no. I've never seen one at a residential fire. Just the normal one-tank grill.
So what are some of the basic safety procedures we need to keep in mind when it comes to barbecuing? Because, you know, for many of us, it's been a few months. It's been a little chilly there back in, January to be out there growing on the back deck.
Yeah, so for, you know, having not used it for a period of time, you want to do like a water and soap test on your gas line just to make sure you don't have any leaks. Turn the tank on and then spray a water and soap solution on there and see if you get bubbles to see if it's a leak. If you got a leak, then it's probably time to replace the hose. Make sure that you get it good and clean before you use it. Keep it clean after you use it, and then make sure that you have some distance between anything that is combustible in the mm-hmm. grill, because, you know, you'll have radiant heat, whether it's a charcoal grill or a gas grill. You'll have radiant heat that can melt your plastic or your vinyl siding or catch the deck on fire, and I know my wife has tried to catch our deck on fire a couple of times with the grills. So, yeah, you just got and then when you get them going, keep an eye on them. Some people just like start them and leave them. And that's my wife's demise. She'll get started, and then she'll go back in the kitchen to do something else, and then she'll forget the grill's running.
Get distracted.
And the next thing you know, you're like, ah, the grill's on fire.
So what let me ask you this, and I don't know if we've talked about this in the past or not, about grilling. You know, you get to some point with a gas grill where you got to go get another tank.
Mm-hmm.
Is it best to put that tank in? I'm guessing in the, if you've got a regular type vehicle, a four door or a small, you know, in the hatch or in the trunk, right?
Do you
want to put it behind your seat?
I personally would not put it there, but I mean, as long as you're not like leaving it in there and letting it heat up in a hot car where you could, you know, where the liquid can expand and vaporize. Yeah. I mean, as long as you're not doing stuff like that, you know, if it's just straight to drop the empty off and bring straight back the full one, mm-hmm. most of the time you're okay. Just make sure it doesn't roll around in your car and you're pretty much okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else do we need to know about grilling safety as we head into Memorial Day weekend? Anything in particular?
Well, so, you know, we talked about the fact that if you don't get it too close and you can catch things on fire. So on average, there are about 9,600 structure fires that are caused by grills. Hmm. And the peak months for grill fires are May, June, and August. With July, and July is kind of a special month because that's the month when we see the most fires caused by grills.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I can imagine 4th of July, and it just gets be too hot to want to do it in the kitchen and all that.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about something else here as opposed to summer. It's kind of almost the opposite of setting fire, and that's getting cool by jumping into the pool. But that has its own set of hazards that sometime first responders and firefighters have to deal with.
Yeah, and if you'll notice, they're filling the pool at the aquatic center.
Yep.
It was about half full over the weekend. It might be close to being full, but we're getting to that time where people will be going to the aquatic center, or they'll be filling their pools in their backyard, and it'll be swim time, and then we start seeing things like people diving into the pool where it's too shallow and hurting their head or their neck, or they're running and they fall and smack their head on the concrete or break something. And, you know, parents not necessarily keeping a close eye on their kids, and the kids drowned or nearly mm-hmm. drowned because of that. And the thing about that is, if you look at pool safety, I mean, a lot of times when there's a drowning incident, the kids were only out of view of the parents for just a brief period of time,
mm-hmm.
and that's all it takes.
It is amazing in that regard. Like a lot of other things, that it only takes. It just seems just like that. You blink an eye, and all of a sudden you may be facing a tragedy. So for those who have backyard pools, and I'm not talking probably about the kiddie pools,
mm-hmm.
but you know, whether they're built in or the above ground or mm-hmm. or whatever, what do those folks need to do to get ready for the swimming season from a safety point of view?
Well, making sure that, you know, so if they have pumps and if they have lights and stuff like that in their pools, making sure that the electrical wiring and stuff for the pumps and the lights and everything are in good working order. We do have instances where, and you probably see it more at lakes than you do in personal pools, but we see electrocutions, especially, you know, like boat lifts and stuff mm-hmm. like that on mm-hmm. docks where maybe there's a short and electrifies the
yeah.
water. You see people get electrocuted that way. So making sure that those things are in good working order, lights are replaced and wiring's checked, and, you know, hopefully they have fences around. I believe there's a requirement for fences, making sure their fences and their gates are all secured, and then making sure that they've got, you know, some type of life safety stuff there, like a noodle or a pool ring or something mm-hmm. like that they can mm-hmm. toss to somebody if there's an issue.
Well, you know, we talked about summertime activities like old grilling, and then there's swimming, and then there's your favorite, fireworks. And I'm being facetious there. And we're getting close to the 4th of July. I mean, you know, it's what, 6 weeks away, something like that. So
yeah.
So what do we need to keep in mind when it comes to buying those fireworks to have? Kind of seems silly to say to have around the house, but to have for your personal entertainment.
So I guess the first thing we need to talk about is the fact that the use of fireworks in the city of Marshalltown are illegal.
Mm-hmm.
The state says that municipalities cannot stop the sale of fireworks, but they can, at least for now, they have the right to restrict the use of them, which is what the city of Marshalltown has done. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in town that don't follow that. The last couple 4th of Julys have been horrendous. You know, part of the problem, Ken, is if you light off a bottle rocket, you know, people think these things aren't harmful, but once you light off a bottle rocket or a mortar or one of those things, once it leaves the ground, you have absolutely no control over where it's going and whose house it's going to land on or whose landscaping, dry landscaping it's going to land in. And the next thing you know is you have a fire. Just because it explodes doesn't mean it's necessarily the carcass is done burning. It can land on a roof and catch a roof on fire. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing is a lot of people shoot these things off and make a mess in other people's yards and in the street, and they don't go clean them up. They just leave it leave it for the poor neighbor to clean up. So you know, when it comes to fireworks, you gotta be careful. If you look at injuries due to fireworks, 69% of all the injuries deal with some type of burn. And, you know, when you look at where their injuries are, the greatest percentage of injuries are their hands and fingers, and then the head, face, and ears is number two. And a lot of times it isn't necessarily the person that's shooting off the fireworks that gets injured. It's the innocent bystander who's across the street or a couple houses down that ends up getting injured.
And we got about 30 seconds or so left. I'm going to guess, take a wild guess here, that probably the best thing to do with fireworks is go out and enjoy whatever extravaganza they're planning out at the fairgrounds, because they sure are raising some money for it.
Absolutely. Let the professionals shoot them off. Just go out with your family, enjoy the evening, watch the fireworks. From what I understand, it's going to be quite the show this year. And, you know, take advantage of that time and go out and sit and watch the professionals do it. And don't try to be the professional.
Don't try and be the professional, because sometimes it just doesn't work out, does it?
Even when you're trying to be safe, sometimes it doesn't work.
Hey, as always, thanks for the visit. We will visit again next month, if not sooner, and keep everybody safe, especially your firefighters.
All right. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. Fire Chief David Ryerson of the City of Marshalltown, our guest today on Central Iowa Today on News Talk 1230 KFJB and 93.9 FM.